Good morning. My name is Sylvie, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the third quarter 2016 financial results conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. John McCann, President and CEO of Mace Security International, you may begin your conference.
Thank you very much, and thank you everyone for taking the time and participating on this conference call. Before I begin, I want to direct you to our website for a PowerPoint presentation that I'll go through later. Go to corp.mace.com, Investor Relations, Transcripts and Presentations 2016 to find the presentation. Thanks again for joining the call. And now I'll turn it over to Carl Smith, our CFO, who will read a forward-looking statement and go through the third quarter and year-to-date financial results.
Thank you, John. Certain statements and information during this conference call will constitute forward-looking statements and are based on management expectations and information currently in the possession of management. When used during our conference call, the words or phrases will likely, result, are expected to, will continue, is anticipated, estimate, projected, and intended to, or similar expressions are intended to identify forward-looking statements. Such statements are subject to certain risks, known and unknown, and uncertainties including, but not limited to, economic conditions, limit of capital resources, and the ability of management to effectively manage the business and integrate acquired businesses. Such factors could materially adversely affect Mace's financial performance. It could cause Mace's actual results for future periods to differ materially from any opinions or statements expressed during this call. I will now comment on our third quarter 2016 financial results. After I'm finished, I'll turn the call over to John McCann, our CEO, who will go over a presentation which is available on mace.com. First, I'd like to reference the highlights of our press release. Second consecutive quarter of positive net income. Highest revenue quarter in over 3 years. Strongest gross profit and EBITDA in over 4 years. Now on to the third quarter results. Third quarter net sales were $2,706,000 compared to $1,710,000 for the third quarter of last year, an increase of $996,000 or 58.2%. Noting that most of our sales channels of distribution were up for the quarter. The increase was mainly attributed to sales through our consumer, sporting, and international sales channels. Consumer net sales channel for the quarter totaled $1,493,000, an increase of $823,000 or 122.9% over prior year. This increase is mainly attributed to two display programs we were able to get in with Lowe's, and we have increased volume with other key retailer partners, including Walmart, AutoZone, and Amazon. Sporting channel net sales totaled $853,000, an increase of $103,000 or 13.7%. This is after a loss of $100,000 in sales last year in the third quarter for the loss of the Sports Authority business. International sales totaled $206,000, an increase of $141,000 or 218% over prior year third quarter. This increase is attributed to new distribution in Poland and South Africa. Web channels or sales via mace.com totaled $46,000, an increase of $4,000 or 10.7%. The company has been running promotions on the web to increase sales, which are promoted via email blasts and social media. Offsetting these increases was a decrease of $58,000 or 42% in net sales through our tactical channel. This decrease is mainly attributed to timing of TG Guard sales for the quarter, which is a sporadic channel or product line that we have. Gross profits for the third quarter 2016 totaled $1,166,000 with a 43.1% gross margin, compared to $641,000 or 37.5% gross margin for 2015. The $525,000 or 81.9% increase in margin can be attributed to the $996,000 increase in sales and a margin improvement of 5.6 percentage points. The margin improvement is a result of efficiencies gained through automation in the manufacturing process, increased productivity and lower material costs as a result of converting our packaging from a clamshell with insert to a blister card with dome, and we also had other savings in key component parts. Selling, general, and administrative expenses for the third quarter ended September 30th were $940,000 or 34.7% of net sales compared to $925,000 or 54.1% of net sales in 2015, a $15,000 or 1.6% increase on $996,000 or 58.2% increase in net sales. SG&A as a percentage of sales declined significantly, going from 54.1% to 34.7%, a decrease of 19.4 points. Increases in SG&A for the quarter included commissions, which is a variable expense and was up $80,000. We had increased legal fees of $22,000 due to a variety of reasons. And prior year quarter, third quarter of 2015, included a one-time $33,000 credit offsetting our expenses. Offsetting the $135,000 of increases just mentioned are decreases in salary and employee costs, which were down $87,000 or 20%, and advertising expenditures, which were down $31,000 or 58% for the quarter. Interest expense for the quarter ended September 30th was $12,000. It's amortization of a put option described in the footnotes to our third quarter financials. Interest income for the quarter ended September 30th was $30,000 compared to $44,000 in interest income in 2015, a decrease of $14,000. It's mainly attributed to the elimination of a $250,000 note we had with Security Partners, which was paid off in July. As a result, net income from discontinued operations for the quarter ended was $204,000 compared to a net loss of $291,000, a $495,000 improvement over third quarter 2015. EBITDA for the quarter was a positive $272,000 in Q3 compared to a negative EBITDA of $331,000 in Q3, a $603,000 improvement. At this time, I'll make a few comments on the balance sheet. Company's net book value was $8.6 million. Compared to 8.3 at December 31st, 2015. Mace had $9.6 million in total assets, including $2.6 million of cash and short-term investments at September 30th. Net inventory totaled $1,665,000 at September 30th, compared to $1,776,000 June and $1,601,000 at December 31st, 2015. An increase of $64,000 or 11% from year end. We had positive working capital of approximately $7.4 million and a current ratio of 7.9. And again, the company has no debt. Total stockholders' equity was $8.6 million compared to $8.3 million at December 31st. And we have NOLs as of September 30th of approximately $60 million. With $1.1 million expiring in 2018, and the last NOL expiring in the year 2035. At this point, I'd like to thank you for joining us this morning, and I'll turn the call over to our President and CEO, John McCann.
Thanks, Carl. And again, the PowerPoint presentation on the Mace website under Investor Relations and Presentations. I'm not going to go through the presentations, but we can take some questions afterwards. So great quarter so far, a great year. We attribute a lot of this to the hard work that we've laid in the past and we're doing now, but there's a lot of hard work in front of us. It continues to be an exciting time for the company, and we anticipate having more good news to share in the near-term future. Briefly, I'll discuss some of the success and some of the work that still needs to be done. Mace success is a combination of very sound strategy, promoting the brand and expanding distribution. First, we fixed the image of the company through our messaging and packaging efforts. All of our communications and messaging is consistent and strong. Mace is the brand for safety and security. We've dealt with a brand and style guide, which we monitor closely to make sure all our retailers and all of our partners associate the Mace brand with empowerment and as the number one brand in personal defense and security. Additionally, we changed the handles of our pepper spray products to make them ergodynamic, easier to use, and cost-effective for the company. So we had a higher retail value, but at the same time, we were able to cut our costs in manufacturing. Our new packaging is about 60 to 65% implemented with an anticipation of 100% implementation by Q1 of 2017, which means that we feel we'll have more efficiencies that we'll gain as we continue to implement our new packaging. Our new packaging, through our testing that we've done, has a very high perceived value at retail. So we're able to then also command a higher price for our products at retail because we're giving a better value. Based on the results that we've seen also on our retail side, that the consumers are also believing in our packaging and like the message that of empowerment and positivity that we've been able to project through our new packaging. Delivery, and Carl had mentioned a little bit in his, we struck a new deal with FedEx, so we'll see some additional savings in the future. And we're also what we call just in time with most of our key partners, which means that their inventory dollars aren't tied up and we can turn our retail very quickly, both from our stock to their stock. And then we have all of our major partners at a 98% in stock or better, which is a very hard thing to achieve because a lot of our retail partners are very demanding, but we've been able to be at 98% or higher, which means that typically we're not out of stock at a retail shelf. On the distribution side, which was one of our key strategies, was increasing our distribution, not only in terms of partners, so we've opened up 65 new doors just in this year, 19 in the quarter. We've also made a concentrated effort with several departments within a current retailer to extend our brand into different departments within the store, which means that if we're in the hunting and fishing area, we're also in the automotive area, the impulse aisle, women's active wear, shoes. Wherever a consumer is looking to be active, we have a product that fits their lifestyle. Traditional retail sales are up 65%, but not only through the new distribution, but also the new placement within the stores that we had distribution. And our margins for traditional retailers, which is our consumer and our sporting goods channels, were up 3.5%, a lot of it due to the new packaging. Internationally, one of our key goals was to gain distribution. We've gained distribution in South America, South Africa, extended our distribution in Western Europe, and we're looking at other areas of the world, too, where our products we feel will be very, very strong. We always pick a partner that will continue with our brand and style guide, present our brand very consistently. So when you're in the United States or if you're traveling around the world, the Mace brand is presented exactly the same way, with the same empowerment and safety and security thoughts in mind. Tactical, as Carl pointed out, our analysis is down, but some of the positives are there's 16 new agencies year-to-date, 9 in the quarter. Defense sprays continue to grow and drive the revenues in the channel for May. Some areas that need more work and are a bit of a concern for us are we're still in a holding pattern with our munitions. Basically, our suppliers had some startup issues. They've had some ISO certification issues and production timing issues. We are still confident that we'll be a player in this channel, but timing has been pushed to 2017. Royalties of TG Guard sales are down year to date, mostly due to expenses being pushed out by many agencies to 2017. So our TG Guard is typically a bid. It's sometimes a GA contract that we bid on, and a lot of these are just for a variety of reasons been pushed out. We are working on some additional partnerships and product opportunities, and we were hopeful to show some new products at the SHOT Show in January for our tactical channel. So our sales distribution strategy is working. We've increased and will continue to increase our distribution and reach throughout the balance of the year. As I also discussed during the year and in the quarter, we've successfully launched new handles, packaging, new stun guns, which are louder and brighter than our competitive models on the market. We've updated our strong-selling hard case line to move from a twist lock design to a flip top design, which is running change and happening as we speak. We've added an auto valve dropper unit into our production facility, which has increased our capacity and our quality on all of our products. And as Carl mentioned earlier in our presentation, it is also over time will continue to help with protecting our gross margins. Additionally, as we announced earlier in the month, we have signed two agreements with SecureCheck LLC, a Houston-based security company. With regard to our surveillance and security business, SecureCheck has bought the customers and the inventory related to the business and will pay Mace an ongoing royalty for the use of the brand name on their cameras, NVRs, DVRs, and certain surveillance products. PureTech has committed to adhering to our brand and our style guide, which will ensure our brand value statement will be consistent through all of our Mace branded products. Additionally, this works hand-in-hand with the previous deal we signed with Court Select Security. Court Select will launch a home-monitored solution in 2017 similar to ADT but branded Mace, so the Mace brand will be well represented in the home security channel distribution, and we hope to enjoy healthy future royalties from this channel in the near-term future. Lastly, we have to deal with a company named Villagen. Villagen is founded by David Happy, who has become a partner of Mace, and Villagen is the leading provider of personal alarms. Villagen will provide Mace with 8 new personal alarms, which are ergodynamic, user-friendly, and most importantly, very loud. They range from 125 to 135 decibels, which the level of pain is considered 120, so these will all exceed that. We've already begun to test some of the items, and the results thus far are great. We're a top 10 new security item on Amazon. And with Villagen's great online presence, we'll be able to offer unique combo packs and kits this year and next. We've landed distribution on new alarms at regional drug chains, which will roll out probably close to the end of the fourth quarter, early first quarter of next year. We expect to gain retail distribution on all products in the coming months and year. Villagen will be our online partner, working with many retailers and also Amazon. These products are great complementary items to our world-class defense sprays. On the disinporting side of the business, just to talk a little bit about it, our Night Beams product launch, sales at retail is sluggish at best. And a lot of it is due to the following: value. We're reexamining the price matrix and the proposition as POS sales, which are point of sales at retail, are below expectations. We are testing with 2 retailers now, lower retails and newer displays. Quality still continues to be an issue as the LEDs are underperforming. Early failure, inconsistent performance, which is unacceptable to us because throughout all of our products, through our testing and through Ideas in Focus, Gallup, and Harris, we have a 91% satisfaction rating on all our products. So we continue to work on the quality of the Night Beams products. That awareness is not where it needs to be. The advertising we have done is not breaking through the clutter. So we're working on e-shopping, infomercials, and other ideas to drive sales. We're also working on a new strategy with the plan of our 911 help now. We're working with our partner HTC R9 Marketing on an infomercial to promote the product nationally. We're also working on placement in pharmacy departments at retail, and we're being much more aggressive working online with Amazon and other e-tailers. We feel this is a very great product. It just needs the right education, advertising, and emphasis to make it happen in the coming months and year. Additionally, we'll be also launching 5 new defense prey products in the fourth quarter and the first quarter of 2017. All of these products were developed during the last couple months. We'll have a new Pepper Gun 2.0. It's lighter weight, orange barrel, easy to use, plus is reusable as a current gun utilizing our bag-on-valve technology, which can spray OC pepper spray 25 feet or more. We have a line of clutch models, which will fall into our personal range of products, lightweight, user-friendly, and exclusive to Mace. Our carabiner will be a brand-new concept exclusive to Mace. This is the first true carabiner, which is fully deployable pepper spray, which is a discreet and effective tool for everyone. It's basically a carabiner that can actually shoot pepper spray. So anybody that's an outdoor or outdoor enthusiast, we'll really love this product. All of these products are on our new catalog, and if anybody would like a copy of the catalog, there should be a link on the PowerPoint presentation to the catalog, but if you want a catalog, please just contact us and we can send you one. As Carl mentioned during his presentation, gross profit for the quarter is really a combination of the manufacturing change, the improvement in the packaging and the handles that we've done, but also a great job of our sales managers who are really business managers ensuring profitability along with strategic partnerships at retail with both U.S. and international customers. Looking forward to the fourth quarter, October results are in line with third quarter, and thus far shipments and open orders are strong for the remainder of the year, so we expect to finish the year very strong. We continue to balance growth, spending, and strategic opportunities for the brand, and we want to thank you again for joining us in the presentation and the conference call today. The only other item that I would note is that we've done a very good job managing our inventories. with the excellent growth that we've experienced during the quarter, we were still managed to shrink our inventories by over $100,000 from previous year, and it's only a modest increase from year-end inventory. So we've done a great job of both managing that, and when we look at it on a turns basis, which Carl and I have done extensively, our core products turn sometimes as many as 10 times a year to 12 times a year, with most of our average inventories being turned at least 2.1 to 3.0 times a year. So between the management inside, the sales organization, and the distribution growth, we're really excited about the future of the organization. With that, we can turn it over for questions or commentary.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Andrew Shapiro of Landale Capital. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. Good morning. I have several questions, but I'll ask a few and then get back out in the queue if that's okay, and then come back to me. So when you went through this, and I do appreciate you had a nice, good, thorough script, but some of this came through a little too quickly, so forgive me if I ask some things that were exactly in your script or otherwise. But when you talk about the huge surge in consumer channel, and I think you mentioned it was Lowe's, but there was also, I think, new customers that also accounted for this jump. Can you mention who those were?
Well, we were up at Lowe's, like I mentioned, Andrew, and we also had quarter-on-quarter good success with some of our ongoing key retailers, including Walmart, AutoZone, and Amazon.
In Walmart. Yeah. Are you in all the doors of Walmart?
We are. So we're in two departments at Walmart today. We're in about, I would say, under 500 doors in their sporting goods department, and we're in roughly 90% of the doors in the automotive department. So we're seeing a nice pickup in their POS sales. So their sales to consumers have picked up dramatically. Okay. And then also, AutoZone, we're in two departments within an AutoZone now. We're in the front end, and then we're also in their hardware areas. And it is one of the goals, to your point, great success at Lowe's, newer customer, success with ongoing customers by expanding distribution within different departments. And then roughly, we've opened up, I can tell you exactly, we've opened up in the channel, call it, between sporting goods and consumer, we've opened up about 42 new doors year to date, and all of those are adding to it, with the fact that a top 10 retailer has disappeared off the map, which is the Sports Authority.
Right. Now, in Lowe's, are you in all the Lowe's stores already?
We're in 1,800 Lowe's stores.
Okay, and I don't know how many they have. I'm just wondering in terms of...
I would say, Andrew, we always parse everything because we're never in their New York doors. So typically we're 90%. We are working on a plan, and sorry to interrupt you. We are working on a plan with key specific retailers to gain access to the New York State market. The New York State market has some archaic laws with regard to pepper spray, where paperwork has to be filled out. We've developed a form. We're working with our legal team. We're working with the state of New York to modify it and make it easy enough for a retailer to carry the product. So we're in all the doors we can be in today, like at a Lowe's. So
let's
say they have 100 doors in New York. We tell them specifically in a presentation, we don't want to be in those doors because it's too arduous.
Well, and with respect to Walmart, I think you said 500. How many stores do they have outside of New York?
Well, 500 in sporting goods. We're in close to 3,000 in automotive.
So is the plan, and there's an opportunity to go from 500 towards 3,000 in sporting goods?
Absolutely.
Okay. And if you're in Lowe's, does that preclude you from getting a foot in the door at Home Depot?
Nope.
Is that a near-term goal?
It's a strategic target.
Okay. So now you're getting in these doors, you're in the particular channels, and this to what extent is the sales surge just stocking, or do you have visibility on the sell-through and their inventory levels are low, and thus you're getting, you know, reorders, et cetera, coming through this already?
Right, and so maybe I glossed over it a little too quickly. We feel a combination with it, a little bit of it is new distribution. The bulk of it, and we're seeing this in the fourth quarter too, is the sell-through. So we do see their POS, right? So Walmart's probably the best in the world with their analysis, and we're seeing that the product is moving to the stores and moving right off the shelf, and their reorders are very strong behind it. It's the same thing with AutoZone, our replenishment orders at Amazon, and with almost every retailer, with the exception of one or two, the POS sell-through is tremendous. And a lot of it, we feel, too, is that our packaging now is being widely accepted, and it's drawing attention to people that they're buying a product because we're still an impulse buy. So strategically, being in the right place at the store with the right message at the right time to be sold is critical.
Okay. And then following up on the sales surge, and then I will back out in the queue, and please come back to me. I have more questions.
Sure.
The sizable improvement you got here now in gross margin percentage on yours and Carl's script, you discussed this was attributed, you attributed mostly, or at least what you're calling out on attributed to, is new packaging and automation. But wasn't what was not mentioned, and I'm trying to get a handle to what extent this was a factor to get a feel if there would be much gross margin impact from continued sales and volume growth, is overhead absorption. So you had the sales surge, and you also have greatly reduced the costs, and you mentioned how the new packaging has improved the value, which might be assisting in your price per unit on the revenue side. So is overhead absorption not a sizable component in the cost of goods sold based on the way your product is and the way you manufacture it?
Andrew, it is, and when we're producing at the capacity that we're producing at and doing bigger runs, we're able to, with same staffing levels in the fixed overhead costs that we have, absorb a greater amount of overhead. So that's contributing. As far as the percentage to the overall increase, that's probably a contributing factor of about 30% of the total improvement. And like we mentioned, the efficiencies in automation in the fill room, along with the efficiencies and increased productivity with going from a clamshell, which bottlenecks at a K-bar machine, to a 3, 4, 6 pressing stations that we're able to use with a blister card, we're able to produce a lot more product and to finish goods at a quicker pace, eliminating any of the bottlenecks to meet this increased demand.
Okay, so presently we have the benefit then of both the new packaging and cost and new packaging and automation cost reduction. We have the potentially higher net revenue per unit because of the higher value add, and we also have the overhead absorption. When did you, so I'm trying to get a feel now of the timing of when we will anniversary the gross margin benefits of the new packaging and automation, and that our subsequent gross margin benefits will just be on the overhead absorption. When would you say you guys introduced and you were starting to generate sizable new revenues as a result of the new packaging and automation?
Right. Good question. I would say the going from the clamshell to the blister card was a phased in, really, initiated or implemented in production probably second quarter, at the beginning. By the end of the second quarter, I would think the majority of the transition from clamshells to blister cards took place. As far as some key component cost reductions, going to a larger capacity mold and changing our housings on our pepper spray, that again, it's a phased-in approach. We'll still continue to see additional savings and some of those housing components of the pepper spray business. So, you know, we've recognized some from the first quarter, second quarter, and I believe fourth quarter we'll see probably an additional 8% reduction in some of the component costs of our sprays, contributing to you know, a better margin. And then as far as productivity and capacity on the shop floor with regards to the conversion of the K-bar to the blister card presses, again, same thing with the phase-in of the blister card. I would say the second quarter we initiated it, and we probably have one or two, three more additional SKUs that we'll be converting from the clamshell to the blister card by the fourth quarter. So, you know, it's just been phased in, but I would think anniversarying it going into 2017, most of those will be in place.
So it sounds though, based on things are phasing in, that this might have been only the first quarter of seeing the gross margin profitability. For three coming quarters, we have the gross margin benefit of this before it anniversaries. And, of course, if you can continue your sales growth, there'll be obviously continued overhead cost absorption and gross margin benefit that we hope to see, obviously, continuously. But that's helpful to know. I have other questions. I'm going to back out in the queue, but please come back to me.
Sure.
Your next question comes from the line of Don McDonald of Consilium Global Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, John. Congratulations on a good quarter.
Thanks, Don.
Question is on the international side. Going forward, what do you think the mix will be, domestic and international? What is your target for that, the mix of revenues?
Okay, it's a very good question. So right now we're under 10%, and our goal would be closer to 15% to 20% as we grow. We have established some strategic distributors and partners in Europe. We actually have several sales guys in Europe today and working on the 2017 plan, but my goal would be to double that as a percentage of our total sales. So roughly if we got to 15 or 20% international growth, international as a percentage of the total, we'd be very pleased.
What do you think the effect of the strength of the U.S. dollar will have on that?
It's a wait and see, because to your point, it's a great question. Some of our partners have said, hey, can I wait on this order until we see what happens to the dollar at the end of the week? So right now it's a push-pull, but longer term we'll see what happens. But there is other ways to go to market too. Like if that becomes one of the defining moments, we are investigating whether if we produced over there, if it became more viable for us to do that, because one of the biggest factors in all of that with our international business is freight. Because we are protected in our freight, so we can't use everybody. We have to be in certain places on a ship or a vessel, and consequently, it might make sense to produce overseas, especially if we can continue the growth that we've seen. But today we're not. We watch the dollar, but we're not as concerned about it. But in the future, it could make a big difference.
Okay, thank you.
Surely.
Your next question comes from the line of Don Scammell of Consilium Global Research. Please.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my questions. I want to follow on to my partner Don's question there on the international front. You know, this is, for unfortunate reasons, exciting times to be in the security and defense business. I got to think an enormous tailwind is behind companies like yours. And internationally, it just seems just intuitive that that would be a huge opportunity, with particularly the women and that are being told to get sneakers instead of high-heeled shoes so they can run away from the refugees. This kind of product seems to be a fit. What is the other than the dollar? What is the true market opportunity internationally, say in the next 3 years, without having to build overseas a plant to produce your product? And then I want to go into the Vigilant market dynamics.
Sure. So the market opportunity we think is tremendous, right? Whether it's in the hundreds of millions or in the hundreds of thousands, we are trying to take advantage of it as best we can. There are areas that still have certain registrations, restrictions, and laws versus carrying pepper spray. So, for example, the UK, civilian use of pepper spray is not legal. In most of China, except for some provinces, the civilian holding of pepper spray is illegal. So there's some challenges that still have to be overcome. But in Western Europe, especially as we look at Italy, Germany, Poland, Spain, we're seeing huge opportunities. And just in those markets, we feel, you know, quadrupling our business has a great potential. The other ones that we're very excited about is that we're selling into some of the Asiatic markets, Korea, Thailand, the Philippines, for example, through our partnership with ACE that was gotten through one of our great representatives, SRS Innovations. Those are great opportunities. And then, quite honestly, one of the areas that we think is a huge opportunity for the organization, and we have our foothold now into South Africa, is looking at the African nations
to
we're exploring how we can dynamically get into those marketplaces, because they offer a great opportunity. We have a very effective product. It's cost effective. That in Africa, we think that there could be a tremendous opportunity. And then lastly, South America. We're in Chile. We're in Argentina, we're in a couple areas, and we see a tremendous opportunity for growth and expansion in those markets. The South American markets, especially Brazil, is going to fluctuate heavily with the dollar, and especially with the Brazilian dollar on a currency exchange basis. But to that point, it's not only just that Western European, it's also the African nations and the South American nations that we're exploring deeply on how we can go to market. We commissioned with a local university, Case Western Reserve University, to help us with graduate students to put together go-to-market strategies in the different areas, and each one slightly differently, because each one's customs, culture, and et cetera is slightly differently, and we're looking at implementing those in 2017 and beyond.
Right. So there's a lot of barriers that you don't have here in the States, and there's not a lot of, I guess, giant retail.
Correct. Western Europe, we have partnerships, and so we can get into World Media Mart, and some of, like, Costco, for example, is a big player in Europe. When you get to some of the other market, it's a completely different go-to-market strategy, because you're looking at smaller shops, you're looking at different styles of commerce. And so consequently, plus you have different rules, regulations, versus the United States, where we have a very good system of rules, regulations from a state, local to a federal level. You get to a different province in China, and the rules might change completely depending on who knows whom and who does what. So, but these are all things that, and to your point, though, we're in a good place. We're positioned well in the marketplace. We can react to the marketplace, because great example, why we have our VP of sales right now in Germany is Germany changed the laws and some of the holding laws for pepper spray. So now we've complied with the new laws. We have the new labels available. We have some other requirements that they requested that we have available. So we feel strongly that in Germany, Poland, and that area of the country, the world, will be able to compete effectively because we're on top of it. But as you indicated earlier, registrations and restrictions change quite frequently, and staying on top of it is a key initiative for us.
Well, it's great to see you be so successful in the packaging and getting on the shelves and seeing a lot of sell-through drive the channel optimism, which is well-deserved. And that leads me to think on this Vigilant, I'd like the Vigilant product that you have, a partner that you have. It seems very important that you've got that toehold in a growing number of the impulse purchase point of sales points, and are showing success. Are you going to roll in Villagent products next to yours, and what type of unit dynamics or unit economics are there in that part of the business of the alarms? Is that a whole different business model?
No, that's the beauty of it. It kind of falls perfectly into our defense spray, right? So you have the same kind of economics, right? You're looking at products that sell anywhere from $15 to $100. Same kind of marginality with what our retail partners are looking for. Packaging will be very consistent with our current Mace branded packaging. They'll be blister cards with domes that will effectively be able to promote the product. And the beauty is that if you run into an account where they might be, I'm not sure about carrying pepper spray, which we still have in the United States, you'll be able to show a very effective tool for anybody, not just young women or a man also, that will be able to alert somebody of a situation that they need help with. So we think, to your point, it's a great complementary line of products. We have 8 slotted. We have 2 or 3 under development with Villagent. He is David Happy. He's a tremendous entrepreneur, if you would. He's a former buyer at retail, so he gets the metrics of selling into retail. He's been with some of the largest retailers in the world and started his own company. And his philosophy of empowerment, safety, security is the same as ours. So it's a great marriage. And once we launch these 8 successfully, we have some ideas for future launches and future products. And then the last thing is it gives us a great opportunity to increase the ring, if you would, at a retail. So one of the things that we did is we tested a combo pack, a current Villagent alarm with a Mace branded pepper spray, one of our key guards, one of our better selling products, put them together, sold the whole package for $27 on Amazon. It sold very well. Within a couple of weeks, we had sold over 600 units in a variety of colors. So for there, we had that testing ground to say, hey, this is complementary product that matches, but then also gives us an opportunity to increase a retail ring in order for a consumer to see greater value. So for us, it's a great extension. And then with this, we can take this to Europe. We can take it to other areas of the world because they're battery operated. They work effectively no matter where you are in the world. And the biggest thing is their QA and our QA working together to make sure that they were as loud as possibly can be. So you draw attention to a potential incident and you quell it before it starts.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, that's star followed by 1 on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Shapiro of Landale Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Some follow-up questions on what you had just answered, if you could help, and then I have some other incremental ones. So you went, this was certainly a script you read too fast. First off, is it Villagent with a D or a V?
Villagent with a V.
With a V as in Victor?
Right, yeah.
Okay, and it's basically a personal...
V-I-L-A-N-T.
Okay, and it's a personal alarm that's different than the Mace Screecher, or that is the Screecher?
No, it's a brand new series of alarms. What we can do, Andrew, is get you a catalog. They're already in our 2017 catalog that we just...
Okay, and is it when it's marketed? Is this marketed with the Mace brand name? Is it?
It'll be marketed with the Mace brand name.
Okay, so it'll say like Mace Villagent.
Most of these will just be Mace branded.
Oh. Okay, and it's with the Mace brand on it. It's still gonna it's gonna generate for us comparable margin to the other products that we're selling. Is that right?
Right, and it's once again it's twofold. So, Villagent, which is a very successful online retailer, David's group will be paying Mace a simple royalty on the use of the product. Mace is paying Villagent a simple royalty on the technology and the products themselves that David has developed. So consequently, Mace will enjoy the gross margin and the profits on the sale. And then we have another stream of revenue. When David sells Mace branded products, he'll be paying us a royalty back to the company.
Okay, so when you sell it and you're getting the margin comparable to what you're doing, that is net of the technology IP royalty you're paying them. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay, so that'll be your normal sell-through. There's no extra bottom-line cost below the gross margin line when you're selling the Vigilant product. And then when they sell the Mace-branded product, they make their margin, and we're going to be collecting 100% margin royalty revenue stream. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. And is it a decent type of a royalty percentage? What kind of royalty percentage is the Mace brand typically beginning to generate? Because we're going to get a royalty on the sales from your SecureTech and the surveillance product sales as well. So you know, what kind of royalty percentage range, you know, you don't have to, unless you're going to be disclosing it exactly, but what's kind of the range we get for a Mace brand royalty deal these days?
I would say it's consistent with the premium brand in the marketplace, like without divulging exactly what the different ratios are, is that they're all very consistent. And so as we look into 2017, it'll be a critical year because it's not Mace's performance, it's our partner's performance. You have Courts Life Security with Home Security Solutions. You have SecureCheck LLC with their surveillance and security solutions. And then you will also have Villagen with our personal alarms and pepper spray products. So with those, without divulging exactly what it is, Andrew, it's what you would expect from the Mace brand.
Okay.
For licensing from the Mace brand.
Well, I don't know. I expected something from the Mace brand many years ago. I'm happy it's coming in finally. And with this Vigilant and SecureTech and the court security, will there be a line item in your revenue presentation for our income statement that'll start next year that'll be royalty, or where will we start being able to track and see the royalty stream come through, which we will obviously presumably be 100% margin stream?
We'll probably make reference to it in the financial statements. You know, based on materiality, that'll determine whether or not it gets its separate stage, if you will.
Okay. All right. Because I just want to figure out to keep track of the product margin the discussion I had in my last round of questions for you. I want to try to keep track of all of that and not let the royalty stream kind of mess
with
our
analysis.
Once it
becomes a material amount, we'll start, yeah, and it's of interest, so once it becomes a material amount, we'll start making reference to it in the investor calls and highlighting those
okay.
as well.
And just to clarify, Andrew, Vigilant, right?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
West
yeah,
Irish
you were calling it Vigilant. It's Vigilant. I see it now on the web.
Right.
Now, internationally, which has been having remarkable growth and growing from you said it's now a 10% share. You'd love it to be 15 or 20. And I'm assuming it's grown from a very small share before. But your net margin percentage on international, what is it relative to your domestic margin, and what accounts for the either higher or lower margin?
So on a gross side, it's like I'm looking at the reports right now. On the gross side, it's consistent with our other channels. What on the net side, it's a little bit higher because you don't have any additional costs. Once the freight, product costs, and everything's taken care of, there's no rep commissions that we typically have to worry about, there's no advertising costs, and there's no return. So on a net side, and I'll let Carl comment a little deeper, is your international gross margin mirrors your international net margin, where with some of our other channels, you have advertising, you have accruals for returns, you have accruals for other things, as they call it, destroying field instead of returning you know, products to you, or they have products stolen, they'll deduct that from what they pay you. But typically, international, with this maybe a slight variance, it mimics our gross margin to our net margin.
Got it. Great. And then, can people internationally buy your product on Amazon?
So we are working. It's a very good point. So with David Happy, we are working on setting up Amazon CA, which is Amazon Canada. We are not today working Amazon in Europe, but if you went to, for example, brightstrike.eu or you went to German Sportgun, you would actually see eerily similar to the Mace brand website in the United States within those countries, and they can deliver within the European countries. One of the big initiatives going forward is Mace Caribe will be active in the fourth quarter of this year. So for South America and everywhere, call it south of the United States, we will have a Mace Caribe website set up that will be in Spanish and will be able to transact sales within those markets, and that's set up with a partner of ours in Puerto Rico. And we're very excited about that. We can talk about it because we're testing the website and it's out there, but Mace Caribe, once it's up and running, will then give us another pillar. So we have Amazon and a lot of online retailers, and we're growing the number of online retailers in the United States. We will start doing business with Amazon Canada through Vigilant. Vigilant, sorry, I always do that. We have great bases in Europe that we're doing business with and looking to expand it, and now we'll have South America.
And when do some of these things go live, during the current fourth quarter or?
Well, Brightstrike and German Sportgun right now are live in Europe, servicing Europe. Amazon, United States, and Mace.com obviously are live in the United States. Amazon Canada will be up in the fourth quarter. Mace Caribe will be up in the fourth quarter of this year. And Mace Caribe, I believe if you went on it, you'd see it in test mode as we speak.
Okay. And taking a step back, I know it's off the royalty side, but in this sale to SecureTech of all of
SecureTech
that
Secure.
Sold all of our surveillance inventory, this is the line item called asset held for sale on the balance sheet, right?
Correct.
Okay, so now that it was a November sale, that line item is going to come off the balance sheet, and in replacing that is going to be a bunch of cash that comes in and the cash in excess of that line item. So there'll be you're going to have a one-time non-recurring gain there. Is that right?
That gain will be reported down in discontinued ops.
Discontinued ops, it'll come off, and then that'll be a conversion into cash. And I presume that gain will qualify for use against the company's NOL, so there'll be no taxes against it, right?
That should be correct, yep.
Okay, excellent. Migrating over, if I can, first off, let me back out. I have questions on Mace Tactical and a few other things, but in case someone else has questions, let me back out.
Thanks.
There are no other questions.
Okay, so can I continue? Can you hear me still?
Sure. So we have about 6 minutes, so I think you want to...
I didn't know if my line was still open. Mace Tactical. Okay.
Yeah.
So year over year, things are down with respect to the numbers, but that's because you said you had TG, that's a bulk sales that happened in various times. It's not necessarily even seasonal. But with respect to the other Mace Tactical, the underlying Mace Tactical market for which we had been and still do expect growth, did growth occur with respect to the law enforcement and agency sales to your underlying pepper and hopefully one day munitions product?
Yes. So if you broke down tactical, you'd have three buckets, if you would, Andrew. You'd have defense sprays. Defense sprays are up, so we're in more departments now than ever in the past. We have a royalty component of it with replacement canisters for our TG Guard product, which is a third-party partnership. That those royalty sales are down right now. It was very healthy last year, almost $100,000. This year, it's probably $10,000. But we expect some royalties by the end of the year because we know there was some activity, but still minor. And then the third bucket is our TG Guard new installations of products, which are typically government contract, embassy approvals, and those have almost been on hold during the back half of the year, which is somewhat typical in election year. So we're disappointed, but we're not panicked, given the fact that sometimes government spending stops when there's a change in power.
Right. But this would be government spending to protect our embassies, which seems to have been a criticism of the newly elected regime.
Correct.
So,
and so that's why we're somewhat bullish on the future within the segment. The biggest disappointment, like no holds barred, is that we have not gotten our munitions division up. So the products that would complement our defense sprays, flashbangs, blunted munitions, tear gas, tear smoke products, we're still not where we need to be.
Right.
We have confidence, though, that if we can overcome all the other hurdles that we
What are the hurdles and what are the timing milestones to get them overcome?
So right now, by the end of the year, our partner has to be ISO certified. And then also has to build into the production schedule the Mace branded products. The biggest thing is the ISO certification, which is under the hands of beyond us and beyond our partner, that certain things have to be met. They have to come in, they have to test it. It's certain. So we started with ATF. We overcome that, which was twice as long as it should have been. Then we had production delays, which led to the ISO certification delays, and now the ISO certification delays are further hampering the production start because you can't start production until you get the ISO certification. The certifying folks company has said that it'd be the end of the year, beginning of the first quarter. So
okay.
Our goal and our hope is to still be active in this segment in the first quarter of 2017. But it's a major disappointment.
So once ISO certification is obtained, there is not much of a time lag thereafter to get the products offered and out there?
As long as the certifying company doesn't demand huge changes in the manufacturing procedure. That's the only oddball.
Okay.
As long as they say, yes, we agree with how you do it today, yes, you can continue to do it the way you are without changes, we should be okay. When the ATF came in, they said, wait a minute, we're going to rewrite the rules here and we're going to make you do some things differently. So they increased the bunker space, they increased the storage space, they made some changes to how you can store and et cetera.
Right,
so
but that's been satisfied now, is that right?
That's been satisfied, but it could be, the only thing I warn is it could be similar. ISO might say, well, wait, we want to change how we look at this because we hadn't looked at it in a while.
Okay. All right, and then migrating over to the new products. Based on your comments last quarter and your comments this quarter, regarding newer products like Night Beams and Mace Alert 911, they had taken a back burner to improving sales of your existing Pepper products to become profitable. Now it seems clear that Mace has become, using the Pepper products only almost, sustainably profitable. So now that you're generating increased profitability in two straight quarters, is the company and the board now able to allocate the resources and the time to make these new products significant contributors to your revenue and profitability growth? And, of course, with your script now, it sounds as if Night Beams still won't get additional resources, or tell me what additional resources and articulate the game plan with Night Beams. And then separately, tell me kind of the additional resources or what you're going to do on Mace Alert 911 to the extent you can, but articulate your strategy there, because it sounds like one might get more emphasis than the other, but it's not clear if Night Beams is going to get no emphasis at all.
Okay, so taking 911 help now, Mace Alert, more resources will be allocated towards that, both through the company and a partnership with the patent holders of the technology. We've reached a confidence level that with an infomercial and some enhanced advertising that the product would sell, and we'd be able to distribute it through retail as we do our pepper spray and some of our other products, our stun guns, for example, because it's just not pepper spray that's driving some of our profitability. We feel very bullish about where we're going with that and the game plan for that through an infomercial advertising and then your traditional retail distribution plays along with some online plays with the help of some partners. So that bucket, I think, will move forward nicely. We've recrafted a lot of the little elements of it. We have some good now analysis and testing to say where it's at and what we're doing. Night Beams is a different story because Night Beams has been a disappointment due to several factors. A, the quality. Right now, it's running above the quality. It's running below the quality levels that we expect of all of our products, meaning the returns are higher than we want. So we're dealing with the factories and the inventor on why is that, right? The failure rate is just too great. B, the sell-through. So we've placed it strategically from a drug account to a sporting goods account to a consumer account. The value proposition, which means that what a consumer is expecting to pay and what they're willing to pay for the product is not there. So we're testing, as we speak right now, lower retail pricing placement within whether it's a running section of an account or a pet section of an account to see if that value promise is a little bit greater before we pull the trigger on some advertising. We have done some testing on some light advertising, and the what you call the cost per call and the cost per order were not in line with what your expectations would be to be successful. So Night Beams is one that unless we can prove it out at retail that consumers will buy the product outside of their initial enthusiasm saying, wow, that's a great idea, it is somewhere that we're still testing in, and not the management, not the board. The management is not suggesting to spend a lot of money on it because we can't get the metrics, the consumer value proposition, to where we think it's a great value.
Okay.
Meaning that I don't want to put a product on a shelf that's not going to sell, then I'm going to take them back.
Okay. And then what about the niche within this, which are those LED safety vests, which would go to corporations, construction entities, unions, et cetera, that are actually higher dollar per, you know, they're decent dollar per unit, but there is a different value proposition that goes with safety vests.
Right. So with that, we have tested. So Quicken Loans Arena, for example, the feedback came back is, hey, we're not going to spend, we're twice as expensive, the vest, right? So they're paying $25 for this vest, and they pay $12 for a typical vest. They've gone back to say, we're buying the disposable vest because what happens is we put it on a kid, we don't get it back, then he requests a new one, and that disposable pricing is better than the premium pricing that we need to charge because it's lit. They got it. They love the features and everything else, but ODOT to Quicken Loans Arena to several other venues, they're like, it's just too expensive. So consequently, that is like on the back burner because once again, unless we can get the cost down and the value proposition of where people will do it, it's not there. And for example, Quicken Loans Arena, the hockey team won the championship, the Cavaliers won the championship, they had thousands of people in there. They still didn't want to buy the more expensive vest.
Okay.
It's a shame because it's a great product. But it is one of those things that people are like, wow, I love it. And then they say, well, no, I'm not paying you that for it. And that's what we have to overcome or figure out how we change that.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, I'm seeing it right now. There's 300,000 shares offered for sale. There's constantly a sizable amount of shares offered from one or more longtime holders that are just sitting there wanting to get out. And the query I have is you have a good story. You have sustained profitability now. There's lots of growth and momentum. other than, and I appreciate for a company that doesn't have to file K's and Q's, et cetera, that you have these conference calls and you are transparent and you make your financial statements available and doing what you're doing. But, and you attempted early in the year, you attended various non-deal roadshow conferences. What's on the plate? What kind of time and resources are you wanting to or planning to, or the board's resourcing you to be able to go do and when?
So it's a very good point. And we actually have an upcoming board meeting the 21st to just discuss that, how we look at that in a enhanced level. There's several things that we're doing. As you know, the OTC Pink, we're looking at what other marketplaces make sense. So easier to trade, right? Easier access to look at our stock.
It's not difficult to acquire. It's just that you don't have, there's not a lot of, as Thurman Willis says, fans in the stands. You don't have a lot of prospective buyers here. Now, maybe it's on this particular, on the Pinks, there's certain parties that are not qualified to buy it. I'm not sure, other than re-registering and melding to be a bigger public entity with the inherent costs that come with that, just swapping to another little exchange, it will bring the buyers in as much as getting out there and telling the story.
Right. And so I think what I'm saying is hand-in-hand with making some moves on the market side, you know, which is just an announcement in itself, and then looking at an enhanced schedule of investor conferences that the board has made some recommendations, the management is making some recommendations, and so with that, we'll be able to comment further on it once we come to a conclusion that the management and the board is agreeable to.
Okay. And you had a partnership before, and I think it was for Mace Alert 911, with an entity, I think, with CVSL. And I was wondering if that is a channel or a partnership for which you're still working with and leveraging off of that. I was just wondering if you've had any talks, what you'd have to do in order to qualify for something like QVC, something like, you know, bigger and broader.
So CVSL, unfortunately, has fallen on some hard times. They've did some acquisitions, and I think if you look at their stock...
Their stocks get crushed.
Right, and consequently, some of their direct marketing strategies have fallen to the wayside, too. We still do some business with them. It's minuscule at best.
Okay.
On the electronic shopping side, we're in agreement. We have strategies, and we have... presentations in place to break through the clutter to look at that channel as an opportunity, but it's a future opportunity. Right now, I'm personally very aware of QVC, HSN, ShopNBC, and even the shopping channels in Canada, having been on them in the past, that it is a priority and a goal. We're just not there yet.
Okay. And is there anything you have to do to enable it?
Legal, Andrew, there's a laundry list,
okay.
And we're working on them. We're working on them.
All right. And I think I only have one or two more questions. And
we're 10 minutes over time. So.
Well, then fine. I'm done. That's
if there's anything you want, I'd rather, if there's questions you have, we can take a couple more minutes.
I'm just looking through the list, and I think I'm good.
Okay. Well, thanks. Well, we want to thank everybody for their time, and we look forward to future conference calls and future good news in coming soon. Thanks.
Thank you.
This concludes today's call. You may now disconnect.